the McDonald's Viking Trail Ball Podcast, presented by McDonald's of Jackson, Wellston, Oak Hill, and now proudly in MacArthur. McDonald's and Viking basketball. I'm loving it. The Viking Round Ball Podcast with head coach Matt Coles is your weekly look inside Vinton County Vikings basketball. Stand by for recaps and previews of all of this week's Viking action, plus scores, stats, guest interviews, and more. Now broadcasting across the World Wide Web.
From a padded room in his basement.
Alongside the head coach of the Vikings, Matt Coles, here's your host, Carl Knox.
Well, the regular season is in the rear view mirror. Welcome to episode 90, boys and girls, of the Viking Roundball Podcast. Alongside the head coach of the Vinton County Vikings, Matt Coles. I'm Carl Knox. The podcast presented by McDonald's of MacArthur, Jackson, Oak Hill, and Wellston. Whether it's before or after the game, McDonald's and high school sports go hand in hand. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Certainly appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to get caught up on everything that is Viking basketball. Taping this little ditty Monday, February the 19th, in case you care. Coach, do you really care?
It depends what you're talking about.
About what day we're recording.
No, I don't care.
Normally, you don't even know what day it is.
I mean, just...
In the off season,
I just live day to day, so I don't, you know, yeah.
Well, that's a good way to approach life, I guess. Well, congratulations, I think, are in order. Another TVC Ohio championship outright.
Yeah.
You take care of business down at Wellston this past Friday night. We'll get to that in a little bit. Do have a good guest coming up later in the podcast. Paul Boggs, the sports editor and sports staff. He's the whole enchilada.
Yeah.
The Jackson Times Journal. He'll be in to join us, talk a little tournament bracket action, not only the D2 brackets. He'll go through D3 and D4 as well. Paul's been in the business for well over 20 years, and guy knows his stuff. So he'll give us the journalistic take.
He's been around here since I've been around here for the last 18 years, in one capacity or the other.
Yeah. And I know he's always done very, very good writer, very thorough, very objective. But it's always good to get a sports writer's impression. We talk to a lot of coaches, so it's good to hear someone who's just lives in a gym pretty much every day, watching teams, and he'll give us his breakdown. But before we get going on your schedule, I have some props out to the Coach Bentley and the girl Vikings,
right,
as they take care of business this past Friday, February the 17th, or I'm sorry, Saturday, February the 17th, and win the sectional tournament over Fairfield Union. The final score 60-47. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, they play, what is it, Washington Courthouse this coming Thursday.
Thursday.
The 22nd?
Yes.
At 6:15 at, yes, Southeastern High School. Now, are those tickets available,
yes,
in advance?
Yeah, we have the tickets available. I believe they started selling them today at school. I know they started selling boys' tickets this morning for our game on Friday.
Right.
And the girls' tickets hopefully are on sale by now. I know we were waiting for them to show up this morning. Hopefully, they'll be on sale the rest of the week. So right there in the front office, you can buy a ticket to the girls' game on Thursday or the boys' game on Friday.
And provided that Vinton County gets past Washington Courthouse, which is a very, very good team out of the Frontier Athletic Conference, then they'll be in the district final, and they'll be playing the winner of the Miami Trace Sheridan game. That game is coming up. That's the late game this coming Thursday. That's the 8 o'clock game. Vinton County, Washington Courthouse is the early game. Of course, it's 6:15. Do they clear the gym over there for the girls?
I don't think so for girls, but don't quote me on that. I'm not sure. I need to look into that to find out for sure.
That's okay. We can get back together and do a whole nother podcast just so you can answer that question. Anyhow, Coach Bentley and the Lady Vikes, just now they have won a sectional before. They have Vinton County girls basketball. Have they ever won a district?
I'm not sure. I know when since I've been here, they played in a district final.
07,
06? When Jeremy Ward was the coach at the time. And I think when maybe Erica played back in the, what would that be, mid-90s?
Mid-90s,
They were right at that level. I'm not sure. Yeah.
Well, at any rate, it's like you've been preaching this sermon for about 2.5 years now, that Vinton County girls basketball
it's the real deal. It's up and coming.
Yes.
And there's a boatload of talent on its way up, provided that, you know, everything works out, which things can change. But congratulations in order to the Lady Vikes and Coach Bentley, who's just done a phenomenal job.
That guy, yes.
He loves what he's doing. Works very hard at it. Got a good staff, and not just at the high school level, but he's you know, doing what it takes at the lower levels to kind of build a program that Mr. 300 over here has got.
No, Rod's doing a great job, and you know, it's very exciting time for our Lady Vikings, and it'll be a tough matchup. Courthouse is really, really good, and Division II in boys and girls this year is just tough. I mean, you know, on the girls' side of things, the Uniota team that handed us our only loss had to play this Courthouse team in the sectional. That tells you how loaded you know, it is over there, and so it'll be a tough matchup. But they're all tough matchups when you get to this level. And the thing of it is, we're a tough matchup for them as well. I think Vinton County's a tough matchup for them. They probably feel the same way. So it's, you know, you get to this level, and there's nothing guaranteed, but I think our girls have a good chance.
Well, should be a dandy over there at Southeastern High School this coming Thursday, February the 22nd, 6:15. Get your tickets out at the Vinton County High School. Get them early. Part of that money will go to our school
district. Yeah, we get like $1 a ticket, so yeah.
Hey, it's better than a sharp poke in the eye.
It is.
All right. Games in the past week. I got to confess, we got a problem.
Yeah.
Well, you won two. That's good.
Yes.
A victory, over Miami Trace, 83-71 on February 13th, went down to Wellston, clinched the TVC Ohio outright with a 59-33 win. Having a little bugaboo with our film statistical thing, so we don't have much stats other than what's in your head.
Yeah, we
a rundown of the game, but
we've had some camera malfunctions here last couple games,
it's not our executive cameraman.
No, it's not even really a camera malfunction. We're having some issues with uploading the game to Huddle and things like that, but we'll get it straightened out. But no, it was a good week for us. I mean, the Miami Trace game, you know, we had to play without Jake,
right?
You know, he was still on the shelf there with the back injury, and you know, Nevin Yates, obviously Nalen had a big game, but Nevin Yates really stepped up for us that night.
Eight threes. He tied the 3-point record. Him and Stewie and his brother Nalen.
Yeah,
now we're all tied with three.
They eight. He had a big game for us, which was obviously a big shot in the arm, especially with Jake out. But any night you can get that from him. And you know, Nevin's kind of been on the verge of that all year. He's had some big games for us, and
he's had some clutch moments
and just a lot of big shots, right? And you know, I really am happy that he is getting it going right here at the right time, because obviously going into tournaments, it's nice to have that other guy,
right,
outside of Jake and Nalen on the perimeter. And Nevin's been giving us that. I think Nevin's had a really good year. You got to remember, he missed so many games at the beginning of the year, and you don't just show up with a hand injury. He couldn't shoot or anything.
Right.
So you don't just show up the first game you're back and, hey, everything will be A-okay. You haven't shot a basketball hardly. So
right. It
took him, we knew it was going to take him 4 or 5 more games. He missed every scrimmage, everything. So he was sort of in his preseason in the middle of the season,
right.
You know, and so he's catching stride now. So I'm real happy for him.
No, and his efficiency is, like you said, his production offensively. But one thing I like about Nevin, he does a lot of little things. You see a lot of deflections. You see a lot of hustle. He's good defensively. And then, like you said, when he gets going, it's good. So you take care of Miami Trace, and then you go down to Wellston, a team that's quite honestly struggling a bit after having a pretty good record through the midseason. They've dropped some here recently, a 59-33 win. Jake is back. He's playing, and he comes out firing on all cylinders as I think he had, 10 points in the first quarter alone, I'm thinking. He started out hot. Before we get into the game, what is because a week ago was when we were recording the seniors, and Jake was very honest about it, that he was hurting. How is his back now? Is he pain-free, or is he still?
Yeah, no, he's doing really well. I think, anybody's ever had back injuries know, like when you're seeing a chiropractor or you're getting treated, it can go from really bad to really good in a hurry, you know, and then you can be sore again. But no, he felt great Friday after feeling just terrible on Tuesday. So in that short period of time, things really turned for him. And, you know, he's practicing now, full go. Everything seems good. So, you know, look, it's been one of those years for us, so we're gonna keep our fingers crossed and hope and pray that we can stay healthy here this week at practice. And so far so good with him.
Obviously, we're going to be talking about the big tournament game coming up Friday night up at Logan High School against Athens. It'll be the third time this year we've played them, and there's already a ton of talk. Everyone's got an opinion. Mm-hmm. Should be a good game. We'll talk about that later in the podcast. Did mention, you know, obviously locking up the TVC Ohio conference title by your lonesome, which I know that the kids really wanted to do.
Right.
How many league championships have you had now since you got here?
I think Pup, who is our, you know, SID over there, I think Terry Hill told right. me that's 11. So yeah,
you know, 11 out of what, 18 years?
Yeah. Yeah. And we've had,
I guess
this group,
not outstanding.
This group I'm really proud of, because, you know, this just seemed like it was tough with some of the things, injuries. You lose your very first league game of the year to a team that only won one or two league games, and you think, wow, that's going to be a loss you can't recover from. And these kids were able to bounce back through all that stuff, and then we get knocked off by Athens there at home. And once again,
well, I mean, but to back up, not to throw salt in your wound, but I'll do that. Not only you lose that first game to Bloom Carroll. That's who you're referring to, right?
No, the Nelsonville.
Oh, the Nelsonville.
You lose the first league game to Nelsonville is what I'm talking about.
Right.
And then you're able to recover from that and still win your conference. That's, I think it says a lot about these kids, just their just perseverance, really, you know, this year. And so it was great. It was a very meaningful, for me, it was a very meaningful league championship, because I know how hard it was for these kids to do it, considering the injuries and things we went through. You know, with that being said, that's our regular season goal, and now we have to move forward, you know, to the next one.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that in the third segment. Coming up next, we'll talk to Paul Boggs about the Southeast Ohio District boys basketball brackets, not only D2, but D3 and D4, as the Viking Realm Ball podcast rolls on. Back on the Viking Realm Ball podcast, presented by McDonald's. McDonald's and high school sports, they go hand in hand. McDonald's. Of MacArthur, Jackson, Oak Hill, and Wellston, episode number 90 of the Viking Realm Ball podcast. Alongside the head coach of the Vinton County Vikings, Matt Combs, Carl Knox. So glad to welcome in a trained, educated guest this week, unlike most of us.
Former guests like N.J. Kite and Chad Carpenter.
Well, they're just teachers.
You know, right.
Kind of like you.
Right.
Now, this guy's professional. He went to the EW Scripps School of Journalism. None other than a sports editor of the Jackson Times Journal, Paul Boggs. How you doing, Paul?
Good, Carl. Glad to be back.
This is not your first rodeo, is it?
No, it's been maybe three or four times now. I've lost count.
Yeah. Well, we do that a lot. It comes with age.
Yeah, it happens.
Well, in addition to going through our tournament game with Athens, which we'll talk about in the next segment, obviously want to get your take as someone who's you've been all over the place. The Messenger, you've covered over in Athens. You most recently, then you went to Jackson, and then you left, and you were what?
I was in Gallipolis, Pomeroy, and Point Pleasant, West Virginia, under the Ohio Valley Publishing umbrella of newspapers, three daily newspapers.
And they own the Times Journal and the Messenger?
No.
They do not?
No. This is a different ownership group.
Okay.
I was there for 22 months. Enjoying my time there, but still live in Wellston, want to be back closer to the area.
Right.
And all that stuff. And like to be in control of my own paper, or own sports section, I should say.
Right. So. Now, are you the only reporter of the Jackson staff?
I am it.
You're the staff.
You are looking at it. There's okay. the sports staff.
You are there. The staff. Well, let's get down to it. Tournament time, the brackets drawn electronically and released a week ago. No. Yeah. A week ago Sunday, right?
Right. Right.
We'll get to D2, D3. We'll figure we just start D4, which Coach and I really don't have. I mean, I know that you made mention that you knew a little bit, but what do you know about D4 as far as this?
Well, district? It's a little bit weird this year. I'll let Paul dive into it here in a minute, but it's like some of the former teams that you got used to seeing D4 aren't D4 anymore. You know, you had Western moved up to D3,
along with Pike Eastern.
Pike Eastern. So both those Pike County schools moved up. Paint Valley a couple years ago was D4. They are now D3. So it kind of – I don't even know how many total teams, Paul, are D4?
D4. It looks like there are 21.
Okay, so they still have a solid number. That's about what they've always had, but there's just been – like Colgrove went down. So there's been a couple teams move up, a couple teams move down.
Peebles, who has been fluctuated between 3 and 4 in the past, who's been mainly D4 last few years when they had the Justice kids go through there, they are still D4.
Obviously, the one thing, and before he dives in, there's a lot of our Hocking schools. So you're looking at some of our Hocking schools, Trimble, Waterford, and say Miller's had a pretty good year. Some of these
Southern,
well-coached team. So these teams that are in our Hocking division, there's so many of them. One of them, two of them might be bound to make some noise. Who knows, you know?
Well, who do you got as far as coming out of that, as far as the D4, the 2-1 seats are Colgrove in the top bracket and Trimble. Just what do you see playing out there? Is it going to be chalk or?
Well, Colgrove is a D4 school playing in basically a league, Ohio Valley Conference, full of D2 schools and D3 schools.
Right.
They have a win over Oak Hill, beat them 58-54 in overtime, handed Oak Hill their first loss. And although it took a half-court buzzer beater prayer shot at the end of regulation to force overtime, they still won the game.
Yeah.
And Colgrove is a nice team. They also have a win over Guy Academy. Mm-hmm. And I guess played Fairland pretty tough in one of those games.
Okay.
So I expect a lot out of Colgrove, just playing in usually a good basketball league, playing up in schedule. I expect a lot out of the Hornets to make a run, to probably get out there to play Southern, who's had a nice year. Although they've lost a couple games here lately, they kind of make you scratch your head. A couple losses to Belpre. I think they're a little bit better than Belpre. But I still look for Southern to play Colgrove in that what would be a district final at the Convo, and that is March the 10th. And coming out of the other side there, Trimble, who's played well, especially as of late. Howie Caldwell got his 500th victory not too long ago. They have a nice player in Randy Hickson, who probably should be the TVC Hocking Player of the Year. And they would play a Peebles or a Waterford again. Peebles, as we were talking here earlier, Peebles is a member of the Southern Hills League. We don't see a whole lot of them here, mainly an offensive-oriented league. Shoot a lot of threes,
right.
Get up and down the floor. Waterford is not the team this year that they have been the last couple years, especially the last year. So I don't know a whole lot about Peebles Waterford matchup. I would probably lean towards Waterford, just being a little bit more familiar with the Hocking division as opposed to the Southern Hills League. But
right.
I look for Trimble to make noise out of that bracket.
Okay, so you see Trimble coming out of this. You're basically calling chalk right now. You're seeing Trimble coming out of the bottom bracket, and then outside of what Southern?
I'd say I'd give the edge to Colgrove coming out of the top bracket there. Okay. Although Miller has a nice team. I wouldn't sleep on Miller. Miller's got some nice athletes. They played Wellston earlier in the year. They're kind of a senior heavy group there. So that will probably be one of the better games in that D4 tournament if it plays out.
Yeah, and I'm looking at Trimble's schedule, and you know, obviously they got a 501 coach over there, and Howie, who knows what he's doing. But as far as their quality wins, I mean, they haven't beat a lot.
In all honesty, Division IV is down this year,
right?
From past years.
Okay, well let's step up to D3. Obviously, there's a whole slew of teams in the Southeast District that are D3. Obviously, got to probably start off with Norm and the Oak Hill Oaks down there. They're still ranked in the state. They are the one seat, and actually, there's three or four different brackets.
There's four.
You got as far as
there's 2-1 seeds and two seeds.
The 2-1 seeds, Piketon's a one and Oak Hill's a one, and then the 2-2s are West Union and Wheelersburg. Obviously, Wheelersburg got Oak Hill at their place,
got him pretty good too.
Yes, they did. And that
Norm Pearson called that the worst offensive performance of any team I've ever coached, and he's been coaching for 40 years and has 726 wins. So that should tell you what they did at Wheelersburg.
Well, they're not going to meet up. They're going to go separate ways in the bracket. But just give me your look on the D3.
Okay. I don't know a whole lot about that top part with Piketon. Piketon's the one seed. Probably should come out of there okay. An Alexander team that played, they're the four seed that plays 13 seed Nelsonville York. you never know when you play, have to play a league team a third time in the year. But Alexander could probably meet up with Piketon in a district semifinal. Alexander, who took Jackson to two overtimes, and right. who played Benton County.
And I'll say this, Paul, too, on that Piketon-Alexander matchup is intriguing to me if it happens, because Piketon's got a kid averaging about 28 points a game in this Wyatt Brewster. And Alexander has always prided themselves on trying defense. To shut a kid down like that. And that could be an interesting matchup if it gets to that. But I think Alexander's, like you said, got to beat Nelsonville, and then I think maybe go through like a South Point or somebody.
And South Point, they had a lead on Wheelersburg when they played, I think it was maybe 10 days ago. and from what I heard, South Point squandered that lead, and one of their best players, Tayshawn Fox, either tore an ACL or had a knee injury. Yeah. That was the late word.
Right.
I never did hear anything definitive, but if he's out, then you got to think Alexander's going to be able to make it through, at least to play Piketon in the district semifinal.
Like I said, I think that could be a decent matchup.
Okay, moving down in the two bracket there, you got Wheelersburg, the two seed, and in that bracket you got Minford, Ironton, Portsmouth, Huntington, Linford Clay. Yeah, so who do you see coming out of that one?
Look for Wheelersburg and Portsmouth to meet again. Those are two close rivals and
played each other twice.
Right. And again, that could be a situation where you're playing a team for the third time. I would not be surprised if Portsmouth came out there and beat Wheelersburg. But I know how Wheelersburg plays. I had some good athletes, especially in Tanner Holton, who was first team all state right. football, was actually up for the Mr. Ohio Award in football.
Wow.
Is a very good basketball player too. But I would put my money on Wheelersburg to at least get out to the district finals there.
Okay, then moving down, obviously you got Oak Hill, a lot of local Jackson County people watching the Oaks, and this has kind of been everyone's thought. This is the year since they've won the state that Norm's really got the personnel to do that. And then they've had obviously the stumble with the upset. I'll call it an upset by Colgrove, and then, for lack of a better word, the beatdown they took at the Berg.
That's what it was.
And I mean, and you know, they've righted the ship, but you know, the Oaks are a team that,
especially in the tournament, they just seem to not play the way that they did late, early in the season, or even midway through the season.
Right.
So that was the case last year when Southeastern upset them in the district.
Yeah, that was a game they probably on paper should have won, and they got shut down.
Now, is there a matchup? I'm not looking at the bracket, but just from memory, there is a potential Oak Hill Paint Valley matchup.
Oak Hill Valley rematch from last year.
Right.
Now, Oak Hill does have more height this year with a young man who transferred from Rock Hill, Mason Darby.
Right.
Although they're still more of a three-point shooting team, and like a team that likes to get up and down in transition. So a matchup with the Swingle kid from Paint Valley, right. that would still – there's no locks on Oak Hill, yet. I like their chances, but they still got to be making the three-point shot on –
Yeah, and I don't know anything about, as far as the Paint Valley rematch with Oak Hill, about how that might play out. Paint Valley's going to have to get past Eastern Brown. Right, and I don't know the first thing about their Southern Hills Athletic League team.
Southern Hills League teams, see a lot of their scores are 77-73 or 72-68 or some of them even getting to the 80s. They play a lot of up and down the floor, high octane.
Right.
Octane pace and shoot a lot of three-pointers. And
Is the young man from Oak Hill doing okay now? No, wasn't there a kid that had some health issues?
Brett Long. He was clear. And he missed he missed the Colgrove game.
Right.
But made it back. It was clear the day of Wheelersburg.
Right.
But they still went down, and obviously he wasn't 100%.
Yeah, obviously.
He did have some heart issues.
Doing okay now,
but
though?
But he's doing okay now. Good, he's one of their, as we call him, in the glue guys.
Right.
Can defend their best player, can handle the ball.
So I kind of see Oak Hill coming out of that. As far as the bottom end of that bracket, you got West Union and there's Southeastern's in that bracket. Eastern Pike, Coach, Barrick's.
They've had a really good year.
Yeah, they're 15-3. So I get them making some noise. You got Chesapeake and Wellston for our local fans, and that will be
– That's going to be a – that's a 6-11 matchup to watch because Wellston has just not played very well at all here lately.
Down the stretch now.
Down the stretch, they were 10-5 at one point. They're now 10-11. Matt Simpson missed a couple games against Athens, against Alexander, and their offense has struggled mightily. They've not shot the ball well. The Simpson kids played through injuries all year. They're just not playing good ball going into the tournament, and that is a scary matchup for Wellston. I would be very concerned because Chesapeake, they've struggled here the last couple of years, but Ryan Davis is an excellent coach. I would not be surprised to see Chesapeake pull off the upset in that game.
And I honestly, I kind of could see Eastern Pike getting through that bracket and even taking care of West Union. Yeah, I could see that happening. As far as the big boy bracket, the D2 bracket, actually in what Southeast District, there is only two D1 schools now, Logan and Chillicothe, right?
Yes, boys, that's correct.
Boys, yes, yeah.
Girls. Yes.
And Chillicothe was D2 last year, moved up to D1.
Right. Now, Logan's, they're D1, and they're always going to be D1 unless something. So with the D2 bracket, I'll let you go. I'm sure Coach Combs has a lot of opinions on the D2.
Yeah, well, at the top of the D2 bracket, you have Proctorville-Fairland. We can all make the argument they are our best D2 team. Their losses are very close. Out of state, they played in Myrtle Beach back in
December. Yeah.
December, late around the holidays. Lost a couple close games there. Maybe should have won a couple of those games, but I look for them to beat either Hillsborough or Washington Courthouse in that first game. Fairland was ranked third in the Division II AP poll last week. They'd play the winner of Vinton County and Athens. That's about as toss up a game as you can get. I know they split during the regular season, and that's always a close game. You never know how that one's going to come out.
Right.
I won't make any predictions on that one. I will not make any predictions.
Neither
on
will
that.
I.
Oh, come on. Come on, man.
Then you got Fairfield Union, the 2 seed against, I expect them to win their first round game. Then you have Guy Academy and Zane Trace.
Could be a really good one.
Yeah.
Academy, Zane Trace, I think, could be a really good game. You've seen Guy a lot more.
Guy Academy's only losses are to Fairland.
Two to Fairland. Who's the other one?
To Colgrove.
Colgrove. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And they have the Loveday kid who's 7 foot tall, is getting looked at by Ohio State, and he's only a sophomore.
Is he that good? I mean, obviously.
Now, when I saw him a lot last year, especially.
Right.
Defensively, all he has to do almost put his hands up. And he's going to alter shots or block shots that way. So teams are going to have to shoot from the outside or not drive the lane. As far as his offensive game, they really didn't need him a whole lot offensively last year. Now, I think his offensive game has evolved much more, with time and work.
Right.
But one of their better players who's since been dismissed from the team, Justin Peck, and they just haven't played, I don't think, as well now as that they did at the start of the season. Of course, you run into Fairland a couple times. That would happen.
Sure.
But I look for Guy Academy to face Fairfield Union, and that'll be a good game in the district.
Bottom half is kind of the part that I Sheridan coming in there with a 15-3 mark as of the draw.
Several straight wins in a row.
Right, and because they play up there in the MVL, I really don't. Matt, do you know much about Sheridan?
No, we don't. We don't see them much. Obviously, and MVL typically is a good league, and I don't. We played Maysville, and they have a nice group, but I don't know. We just don't know much about it. It's kind of like the West Coast when you're getting ready for the NCAA tournament. You know what I mean? You don't know what Arizona and UCLA are doing because you don't watch them much. Kind of like that with the MVL. You don't know much about them. But Sheridan's obviously had a really, really good season this year, and I think with the 1 seed, they would come out and play the winner of Waverly
and
Jackson,
which is a rematch from a couple weeks ago.
Right. So, and then you got Uniota, from that other side too.
Yeah, if they run the chalk, then they're gonna match up with the winner of the Miami Trace McLean game, which they'll. Should take care of that, and then that's lining up for a really dandy over the Convo district semi. That would be Warren Local and Uniota.
Yeah.
And obviously, what was the kid that didn't play in the foundation game that came back for Uniota?
Peyton Hill.
Yes.
Yeah, and he's played with them the whole year and been obviously a key part to their team. I had a chance to watch them play the other night. They're playing pretty well right now.
I mean,
Uniota's playing pretty good basketball. They took it to Zane Trace big time the other night in the final game of the year.
Their two losses are to Fairfield Union.
They lost, I think, by 1 or 2 points to Fairfield Union, maybe. Yeah, and that was on the road. And then they lost to Logan, first game of the year.
And Logan's had a
Logan's phenomenal. So
excellent year.
I mean, Uniota's playing really, really well right now. So, you know, I think they're you know, they're in the boat we're in. We were in last year where we had to play a 14-win team to get out of the sectional in Marietta. They have to play a Miami Trace team that's not too daggone bad to get out of the sectional. When you've got those two kids that they have, we saw them the other night, those two kids that combined for 50-some in our game. Darby Tyree and the Carter kid, Cameron Carter.
Yeah.
You know, they got two really good players there.
That's a dangerous seven seed.
I mean, you would like to have a little easier game than that when you've lost two games all year or whatever Uniota's lost. But you know, if they do take care of that, then like you say, they match up with Warren down there at Tecumseh.
What is Uniota's SBC win streak right now?
69. It ended at 69. Well, it ended this year at 69.
Wow.
Basically, they play 14 league games a year, so you're looking at what would that be, about 4.5 years or so, close to 14, something like that.
Almost 5 years.
So it been quite a run for those guys over there for sure.
Okay, before we get you out of here, we're going through them. Before we get done with the D2, who do you, and ignore the fact that you know you got one of the coaches right here with you. Who do you, give me two teams that you like coming out of the Division II section?
I like Fairland, and I like Warren.
Okay, really?
You like Warren? Warren's very well coached. They play a tough schedule. Have played much better here down the stretch. They beat Chillicothe, in fact, recently. I like teams that are playing well and are tough and physical down the stretch in going into tournament play. And Warren fits that mold, and Fairland just has the best talent.
Fairland did not lose anybody last year,
and they moved up from Division III.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, Norton Pearson's heart was broken over that.
Yeah,
the fact that they went D3 to D2.
And you got to remember that Division
Combs was overjoyed.
That Division III regional this year is a bear.
Norm probably paid and sent like 10 kids over there to Fairland.
He says I'll enroll 20 of them, get some degenerates, send them down there, make them D2.
Yeah.
Paul, thanks for coming in. Appreciate your time.
Hey, no problem.
And I'm sure we will see you, if not sooner, we'll definitely see you over at the Combo.
You'll definitely see me at the Combo for sure.
Yeah, you'll be living there for several.
I'll be there. I'll be over in Athens quite a bit from starting 1st of March.
That time of year. Paul Boggs from the Jackson Times Journal. Do appreciate your input and insight, and we'll come back talking about Vinton County's big tournament game as the Viking Rumble podcast rolls on. Back on the Viking Rumble podcast presented by McDonald's and MacArthur Jackson, Oak Hill and Wellston. McDonald's and high school sports, they go hand-in-hand, McDonald's. I'm loving it. Carl Knox alongside Coach Matt Combs. Episode number 90 of the Viking Rumble podcast. Well, we've analyzed, criticized, dissected, did everything we need to do with the regular season. Let's forget about that. That time of the year, Coach.
Yep.
Survive in advance, as my buddy P. Floyd on Southeastern Ohio Preps would say. You've been reading Preps a lot?
You already know the answer to that.
I know you secretly.
Yeah, right. I haven't read that. I would just as soon pull my fingernails out. And it's nothing against that website, but man, when I'm in season, look, if other coaches read that, they have more time than I have and care more about what other people think than I do, because I don't participate in that too much.
Really? Shocking. With the amount of free
time. Now the amount of my friends who read it, you know.
You have friends?
Like, well, at least acquaintances.
Yeah, I think
so. That read it like it's, you know, the best thing since sliced bread. I every now and then get updates, but then I tell them, hey, listen, keep that stuff to yourself because I could care less.
No, that's why you tell us keep that to yourself, because, but I mean, if you read it on Preps, you know it's the truth.
Oh, that's what I hear.
Yeah.
The gospel.
Yeah, well, I'll try to rattle you later, but we got business to talk about first. Athens, this is going to be, you know, you go over there and take care of business pretty handily back on, the 5th of January. You beat them 73-62 at the MAC and, you know, do it in pretty efficient order. And then, wasn't like week and a half, 2 weeks later on the 23rd, they come over here to your place and win a close one, 54-51, and was it the Chubb kid just torches you guys, and it was the second quarter, I think, just killed you guys.
That particular night was a butcher kid that hurt us.
Sorry, the butcher kid, yeah.
Yeah, Chubb hurt us over there at their place early in the year. And, it was the second quarter. We actually, played three decent quarters of basketball, but unfortunately the second quarter just killed us. It was an awful quarter for us and a good quarter for them, and I think they ended up, they scored nearly half their points in the whole game in the second quarter. So,
and he was hitting everything he looked at from all over the place.
Yeah, they played well. We helped them a little in that quarter as well, and that's what normally happens in basketball. When a team has a big quarter, they play well and the other team doesn't. So, it was a lot to learn from that experience, I think, for our guys. And, Athens has obviously improved. I mean, they've won, like, I think, 9 in a row now.
Right.
Played good basketball down the stretch, and
had a pretty quality win down at Jackson. They beat you guys. They've taken care of business. They're on a roll right now.
Right. Yep. They're playing well, and we feel like our guys are playing pretty well too. So it's going to be a heck of a matchup, I'm sure, for the fans to watch, and for the two teams, I'm sure it's going to be an important week of practice for both of them.
Obviously, you've got four practices. Now, quickly, I haven't talked to you over the weekend, but did you have the kids in at all this weekend?
We came in last night and did some film work and ran through some stuff and talked a little bit, just kind of laying out, our mindset this week and what we want to accomplish. And I think it was good. We gave them Saturday off. Of course, there was some weather there, too, and so we really and the girls played that day. Then so we come in Sunday and just kind of, like I said, laid things out and thought it went well. So now we physically get into practice tonight, like you say, for 4 days.
When you have that many practices before one game, do you spend every waking minute of each practice concentrating nothing but your opponent, or do you go back to maybe some drill work, some fundamental stuff, or is it how do you kind of chop?
Yeah, I mean, it depends a little bit on when it is during the season, because I think early in the season, obviously, you're still doing a lot of drill work and you're doing this point in the year. I try to basically, we do some skill work, just some shooting, obviously, staying sharp that way. But most of what you do now is geared toward that one game. Let's face it, you've kind of put everything in you're ever going to put in, and you're just sort of tweaking things for your opponent. And if you might run a drill here or there that has to do with the game plan, but if you've got some huge skill issue at this point in the year, it's pretty hard to overcome that.
True.
So you either have it or you don't in certain areas. So at this point in the year, you're really gearing everything toward who you're playing.
Obviously your base offenses are set. Your set plays, you might tweak one or two at the most, but it's not like you're going to flood kids with stuff. But I did know, how much time you mentioned watching film last night with the kids.
Right.
It's, and I know you're a big, big proponent. I don't know how much you have the kids watching film. I think they at their leisure, they can go out on huddle anytime they want and take it in. But I know off, when you get home, you're a film.
Well, I mean, I do watch a lot of film, but the kids, we watch some film with the kids too. The nice thing about technology today is you can clip things out,
right,
and you can put together an entire film session that's 15 minutes long. You go much longer than 15 minutes with high school kids, you lose them probably, their attention span at that point. So, you can put a lot of little clips into a 10 to 15 minute film segment on an opponent and or on yourself if you're trying to get better, and it's good. So we really utilize film with our guys.
As far as the Athens game, some keys to victory or success, what are you looking at as far as
I think with Athens, you look at them as a team that's got just solid size across the board. I mean, they don't come at you with 6'8", but they come at you with a lot of 6'1", just solid kids. And, they play a specific style, a lot of zone defense. They try to get after you with some traps and some pressure. And, you know, so there's things you have to be ready for there. And then they've got kids. They've got several kids that can shoot the basketball. When you have that, you're dangerous. Enough size to where you have to be concerned out around the basket as well, so they have some balance. So those are just things, you know, we've got to be ready for. And, you know, it's weird whenever you play a league team for the third time, there's probably not a whole lot of secrets. There's probably not a whole lot of tricks you can pull. You know, you're going to know your opponent pretty well. I mean, they know us, we know them, in terms of the personnel and the players and all that. So it's one of those deals, you know, it sounds like a coach talk, but it really does come down to who executes better and who plays better that night.
Okay, and as we mentioned the first segment, pre-sale tickets for that game up at Logan Friday night at 6:15. They're coming in to the high school.
Yeah, I would say by now, you know, they're selling girls and boys tickets there, and they will be all week. Yeah.
Okay. Only other thing I got to go, and I don't know if you want to get a touch on it. I'd like to give you a grief about preps, but there's 9 pages right now. A 9-page topic.
Uh-huh.
It's made at 9 pages, Combs. 9 freaking pages.
Yeah.
Player of the year. Who do you got? Go.
Well, our voting got pushed back. We were supposed to have it yesterday, and it's going to be next Sunday now due to the weather on the weekend.
Suspense is killing me, man.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
And, you know, I'm not going to go off on a total tangent here about the way we do all league and our league. And it's, you know, I guess to put it nicely, it is odd. And to put it not so nicely, it's just ridiculous. The way we do all league isn't really even all league. You know, it's hey, you win the league, you get 4 guys, write their name on a piece of paper, and we'll just give them a plaque. There's no voting. There's no, you know, now because of how badly it's done and how badly the coaches hate it, and the coaches for years have fought against.
So it's not. Let me just stop you right there. It's not just.
No,
it's the whole universal.
I mean, the coaches have fought this forever and a day. I can remember Howie Caldwell, who's legendary, right? Just won his 500th game. He and I went to the ADs before I was an AD. Went to the ADs back in it's had to be 10 years ago now. You know, and this is back when the ADs had a vote in things. See, the ADs don't control anything now. The Board of Control meets once every 3 months. They make all the decisions.
That's principals, superintendents.
Yeah, and the ADs basically do nothing other than meet
the work.
And discuss schedules. And yeah, so we've got a lot of people, not all of which know much about sports, making the decisions now in our league. And so we've been trying to change. The coaches have wanted to change all league for a long time, and we just don't. And it hurts our kids. It's not right the way they do it. Now, fortunately, we have a great group of coaches who behind the closed doors help each other out and vote for our kids so that we make it more of a legitimate award.
Right.
You know, we have a gentleman's agreement. We handle things on our own. But, you know, so fortunately we have that because we have such fine men who coach in our TVC Ohio. And I'm sure in the Hocking too, I'm just not in their meeting.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But so thankfully we have that, and we try to make these things as legit as we can. We shouldn't have to. The league should be able to step forward and fix this. There's other leagues that do it really, really well. We don't. But to answer your question, the player of the year thing, you know, obviously we have 2 candidates for that in Jake Speakman and Nalen Yates, 2 guys that have had a great year. Our league bylaws say that you can't have 2 from the same school. Why? No earthly idea. Just arbitrarily put that in there.
Last year you had co-players of the year.
Yeah, but from different schools.
Griffin, Lutz.
Yeah, can't have that from the same school. So you know, we'll see. We'll certainly lean on our league coaches to vote that out and see how things go on that. And you know, we've had these situations in the past with other schools and other sports. And but we'll, you know, so we'll see how it works. I can tell you that our guys are focused on one thing, and that's getting back to the convo. You know, I can guarantee you, Jake and Nalen will be the first to tell you that you know, with what they've gotten to experience the last couple of years, there's no better feeling than going and doing that.
Yeah,
you
know, a plaque is not going to
trump you and your buddies going to the convo and playing basketball and in front of about 5,000 people. So that, to me, that's going to be our first priority and our first thing. But no, it'll District 13, same way. You know, it got pushed back. So we've got to do those meetings next Sunday, and hopefully the weather will cooperate.
Well, you know, if it's worth anything to you, I think maybe a good idea is to get you coaches, the TVC Ohio coaches, together.
Yeah.
And then we will, you know, secretly talk to Matt Ash, you know, from preps.
Yes.
And find out the identity of all of the people. And there's certain ones in particular. You'll have to
read. Well, it sounds like they should just charge $1 a vote. And
well, that's what I was getting at, and have all of these Southeastern Ohio preps posters meet with you guys and work it all out, because no one on preps has an agenda. No,
the only problem with that is you have to show your face. You can't hide behind the keyboard. But
that's for some people that have multiple usernames, you know, that's even more difficult. Coach, appreciate your time as always. Good luck to you Friday up at Logan. Hopefully we'll be back next year or next week talking about a trip to the Convo, but a tall task against a hot team in the Athens Bulldogs. That'll be a dandy. Look forward to seeing all Viking fans at a packed house up at Jim's Gym in Logan Friday night, 6:15, as the Vikings start the tournament run in the district, in the sectional semifinals. For Matt Combs, Carl Knox saying, thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll talk to you next time.
You've been listening to the McDonald's Viking Roundball Podcast, presented by McDonald's of Jackson, Wellston, Oak Hill, and now proudly in MacArthur. McDonald's and Viking basketball. I'm loving it. Join us next week for an inside look at Vikings hoops with the head coach of the Vikings, Matt Combs, and your host, Carl Knox, right here on the McDonald's Viking Roundball Podcast.